John.
Hey.
It's your turn.
All right. I think it was Colonel Mustard.
All right.
In the conservatory with the, what is this thing?
That's a ham bone. We're playing Operation.
Son of a...
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time. All right, so this podcast is good for 2 to 4 players.
Yeah.
Right now, there's only 2.
Ages?
30 and up.
Wow. We are really cutting out a choice demographic, I think. But fair enough. 6 and up. There are small pieces that should be kept out of the hands of children. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Hourchive today, and what we'd like to propose that you do while you listen is get out your favorite board game, because we're going to talk about board games right now.
Play along.
Play along. Yeah, gather all the board games you have, and hopefully you'll
line them all up right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then just start a game going from one board to the other.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll have all the games that we talk about.
Yeah.
And you can play as we talk.
Yeah.
It'll probably list all the games to talk about in the show notes, right?
Yeah.
So go out, pause it and go out.
So go out.
Pause it right here.
Pause it right here.
Go out and buy all those games.
Use guys.
Board games.
Hello.
But if you go buy those games.
I'm your dungeon master, Christopher Walken. You are confronted by a beholder.
What board game did you play the most as a kid? As a youngling.
As is typical, I have a complicated answer to that question.
Brother.
The board game that I played.
Because. Go on.
Because the board game that I played most frequently was not the board game that I. Well, I played a lot of Monopoly, never finished it.
Oh my gosh, tell me about it.
Played a lot of it, never finished a game, really. But the game that I liked to play the most was Clue.
But you didn't have it.
But I did have it, but I had no one to play it with. So what I did was I took the pieces.
Yes, you did.
And I acted out the movie Clue with the board and the pieces.
Oh, well done.
So I would have, you know, all of the pieces, and I would put my hand against them, and I would, like, shuffle them up the hallway, and I would be like, exactly, yeah, do the music. And then he could have run down the hall and stabbed the cook. And then I take Mrs. Peacock, and I go, oh, how could he risk it? We might have seen him running back. And then I say, not if he used this secret passage. Yeah. What about you? What games did you?
Man, I wish I'd done that.
You should have come over. You could
look what happened to the cook.
You could have played all the non-peace characters if you came over.
Oh.
Yeah. You could have been. You could have been.
I was listening,
Mr. Body, Yvette.
She's Mrs. White. Oh no, Mrs.
No.
White is
Mrs. White.
Isn't that weird that they depict her as the maid
in the French maid outfit?
And in the movie Clue, okay, pause on the Clue because I want to talk about that movie, but I feel like we should first touch on board games in general before we get into movie adaptations of them. Because there have been a few.
Right.
That was there. Shut it up. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. What did I play the most as a kid? Well, Monopoly, yeah. We played that a lot.
It had a Monopoly on your gaming?
We never finished it. No. We never finished it, though.
Nobody ever finished
it. No one has ever finished a game of Monopoly, even if they think they have.
Now, did you play regular Monopoly, or did you play some variation?
Oh, you mean like...
Like a Star Wars Monopoly, or Dennis the Menace Monopoly?
Initially, we played regular Monopoly, but we got some crazy version of it at one point. It might have been St. Louis Monopoly.
Oh, those
something.
Are the worst, man.
Hey, hang on.
Those modified Monopoly games, the worst.
Well, isn't that what you were talking about?
Yeah, yeah. But they're the worst.
What I remember hearing had happened was that they lost the patent on Monopoly or the copyright or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It became available to anyone who wanted to make a Monopoly game
adaptation. Yeah,
maybe that's wrong, but we had, I think, you know what we had, I don't think it was even called Monopoly. I think it was called St. Louis in a Box or something.
Oh,
and it was
so it wasn't even an official Monopoly,
right?
Maybe even worse.
I think the Arch was in place of Boardwalk or Park Place.
Okay. That's
the
St.
Louis Arch, to be clear.
The Gateway Arch.
Oh.
The Jefferson Memorial expansion.
Yeah, the Jefferson Memorial expansion. But that's not the game that I liked to play the most. I liked to play the most. Man, this is a tough one. I guess HeroQuest. HeroQuest was a lot like Dungeons & Dragons, except it didn't have the character creating section of it.
And it had a board.
Yeah.
And it could be played in a night.
No.
And no, really?
Well, it could, but it was involved.
Oh, okay.
And it was, I think it came with pre-made characters. You had a barbarian and an elf and a dwarf and something else, I think.
So instead of picking a shoe or a car, you were dwarf,
yeah,
elf, whatever.
And you would, I only ever played it with my dad. And he would play the characters, and I would be the dungeon master, because you had a guy who basically had the map. Because the board was a plan view of some structure, some building, right?
Okay.
So it had rooms and hallways.
Okay.
And what came with the game were little 3D representations of furniture, doorways, and stuff. So as the player progressed through this building, if they went into a room, you'd put all the things in there. So there's a treasure chest here and a bed here and bookcase. So you set all those things down. So because they have not seen anything when they start the game. Okay. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
They're standing in a hallway. All they can see is a hallway.
Until they get into the room. And then
they
you,
walk into the room.
And then you lay the scene.
Yeah, you're like,
them.
Here's what you see.
In Fair Verona.
And
where
you'd
I
also
lay this couch.
You also might put a goblin down.
Oh.
So my dad and I played it, but we never finished it because it took a while to play, and we would leave it up, you know, and then come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that game.
What did you like about it?
Those furniture pieces.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
I remember I would play, and I didn't like playing it, Concentration.
Yeah, never played that.
I mean, it's not technically a board game. Do we have to say that board games only have boards?
No. I think as long as there is some, the distinction of a board game, what I'm going to read it as is that it is, there is actual fabricated
apparatus
pieces. Yeah, an apparatus.
No,
maybe
card
it's a
games
board,
allowed.
But yeah, it's not a card game, and it's not a strategy role playing type of thing.
Yeah,
where you're playing with paper.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I wish I hadn't said that many times.
I wish you hadn't either. Cut them out.
Yes,
no,
you are correct. Yeah, you could just answer with no.
But yeah, so it has. There's some sort of physical property to the play of this game.
Concentration.
What is concentration? What did you do in
this was a game that scared the hell out of me. It was basically a plastic box, And in the top of the box, there were a bunch of shapes stamped out. Mm-hmm. And it came with little plastic pieces that filled those shapes, right?
Yeah, this is very familiar to me for a game I never played.
So the point of the game, I think, was to you'd start a timer. Mm-hmm. The box itself was like right. timer. You turn it on.
And then you everybody and you try turns.
To well, and... I never played it with multiple people.
Okay.
I always played it against the clock. Mm-hmm. And you basically try to put all the shapes in before the timer goes off, and when it does go off, the whole thing pops up and knocks all the pieces out. Go.
And it does it like buzzer or something?
It might. It might.
I have played that.
Oh man, it scared me. I was so nervous about it going off. And I just sit there like sweating as
concentration games like a loaded gun.
Yeah, it is.
Oh. I played that when I was really, really young, and I remember being very tense about it.
It's tense.
Yeah.
There was a lot of...
I swear I thought that was called something else.
Isn't it concentration?
I don't know. Somebody tell us. I thought it was called something else. I thought somebody it was called...
Somebody tell us?
Don't fall behind the clock. Or,
yeah, that's the name.
You know. No, I thought it like began with an F. Like...
Freak out.
Yeah, something like that.
I think
that.
It's concentration.
Okay, all right.
There was a lot of great innovation in board games, right? Think about it.
Okay.
Concentration. That's a cool idea. Like, yeah. This thing blows up.
Yeah.
The operation, you know, little steel contacts, metal contacts.
Try to steal some guy's organs.
Yeah, and his fake organs.
Get electrified.
No one should ever go into medicine based on the game operation. Like, at using that as why.
Right.
Because they're going to be disappointed by the fact...
There's no buzzer in the human
there's
body.
There's no bread basket. There's no... What else was in there?
Charlie horse.
It's no Charlie horse. It was a little horse.
A horse, yeah.
For years. I hated the horse.
I was like 22 years old before I realized that a Charlie horse was, one, an actual, like...
Yeah.
A piece of the anatomy that
well,
was
Well, it's not a piece
to.
Of the anatomy.
Well, okay. But, I mean, it's...
It's an occurrence.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't realize it was a real thing until then. And
you probably had many Charlie horses in your life.
Right. But I assumed that a Charlie horse was just made up for the game. And then I found out that there was a real thing. And then I was like, wait, there's no horse-shaped thing.
You at 22, you realized.
I was, yeah.
You would, like, get up.
I quit school. I was so upset. I was like,
your muscle would tighten up in your leg. You'd be like, God, I wish there was a term for this. So I could be angry about it.
Yeah, so I could yell about my Charlie horse. Like,
it's called a Charlie horse. There's no horse thing in my leg. It's not.
You guys are so wrong.
Why don't you try to take the butterfly out of my stomach? And then, like, a cute girl walks by, and you're like, oh.
And you do have a butterfly.
Never mind.
Don't take that butterfly, please.
That's all I got. But the most innovative and the development that has most changed not only American culture, but I think the world, was the Pop-O-Matic bubble. Oh. I mean, you'd never seen anything like it. Can you make a Pop-O-Matic bubble sound? No, it's just a double sound. It's like... It's not that...
Hey, am I getting into trouble?
Yeah, am I getting into trouble?
If I get into trouble,
Pop-O-Matic trouble.
It's fun getting into trouble.
Everyone loves getting into trouble, the Pop-O-Matic bubble game. First one home wins, but watch out.
Back to start.
Now you're in trouble.
Trouble, Pop-O-Matic trouble.
It's fun getting into trouble.
What are you guys doing?
That started with Trouble, right?
Yeah, man.
The Pop-O-Matic bubble, which I've never played Trouble, but I've played other games that had Pop-O-Matic bubbles in them.
What other games had a Pop-O-Matic bubble?
I had this awesome Alvin and the Chipmunks pirate ship game. Yes. All of my board games... See, this is the thing. All the board games I like to play were ones that had... They were not like real board games. They were like just... these BS games made up, you know, to capitalize on cartoons.
Yeah.
So I had that one. There was a Superpowers board game where, like, there was a city, and I guess it was, like, it was weird because it had all these characters in it, so it may have been Metropolis or maybe it was Gotham.
It was a DC game?
Yeah. So you had little Superman and Batman characters, but you also had the Penguin and the Joker and Lex Luthor and Brainiac.
Yeah.
All in there. And they would fight on top the rooftops of the buildings.
That reminds me that another game I had that I loved to play, I think it was called X-Men Academy or something. And it was similar in that you had, basically you were in the mansion. The game board was the mansion. And each floor was a different picture. Mm-hmm. And there would be villains attacking the mansion, and you would choose, I think, three or four of the X-Men to play as, and you go through fighting people.
Cool.
It was really cool. It came with awesome little figurines. There were like 12 or 16 different X-Men to choose from.
And you would play as one of the X-Men.
Yeah.
That's rad.
As like three or four of the X-Men. You'd put a team together.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. It was a good game.
Good game.
Did
you ever play the E.T. game?
No.
Terrible.
What was it?
Some foreshadowing there. No, it's it was like you are trying to collect Reese's Pieces and
real ones?
No, I mean you could substitute real ones. No, they were the like cardstock ones that you poked out of the thing.
Were they circular?
There was
Well, that's good.
They were multicolored, and there was in this ring
you're
pattern.
Trying to collect Reese's.
You are. You're trying to collect Reese's Pieces, and you're trying to get E.T. like to the spaceship. You would construct this spaceship out of cardstock, and it was in the center of the board. You're trying to get to the spaceship. And there was a little E.T. figurine. And occasionally you would put him in his Halloween costume, which was this like cheap plastic ghost sheet that you put over E.T.
Why?
To disguise him for people. Yeah, so they would think he was just a kid in a Halloween costume.
This sounds awesome.
It was not a bad game. You know what? The first game I ever got really, really into was the Pac-Man game.
Okay.
And it was not a very good game, but it was great because it had everybody had a different colored Pac-Man. So there was the yellow one, which is the one everybody wanted.
So inclusive.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was a red one, a green one, and a blue one in addition to the yellow one.
All right.
Everybody always wanted to be the yellow one, obviously.
Yeah, because that's the original.
Right. But then the board game was aligned like the Pac-Man grid.
Yeah.
And there were these little marbles along it, and you would, like, you know, roll a die or whatever, and then you would get, like, six, and you'd go clunk, 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 and you would, like, put Pac-Man down. And the little plastic piece was actually designed.
It could eat them.
It could eat them.
I played this.
Yeah, it's a rad game.
He could eat them.
Yeah. And there were plastic ghosts that you would put on the board, and they would.
He ate those little pellets.
Yeah.
In the game.
They were marbles. Yeah. You would, like, put the piece. He would, like, set him down on top of the marble and then press him, and it would go clunk. And he would, like, absorb the ball. Yeah, the marble. It was cool. It was a good game. There was a Donkey Kong game, board game.
Yeah.
I think there was, like, a Centipede board game. A lot of those, like, early arcade games had board game counterparts.
Wow.
But the Pac-Man was the only one that I really remember ever playing.
It reminds me of Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh, yeah, with the marbles, sure. Didn't like that when I was a kid. It was a little too frantic for me.
Yeah, I'm still not really a fan of it.
No, no. I'd like to see a movie of it, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hold that thought. We need to talk about Fireball Island.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean,
talk about it.
Quite possibly one of the coolest board games ever made.
I don't know if I would go with one of the coolest. I think it.
What?
It has the throne. There's nothing cooler than Fireball Island. Yeah.
Nice.
What? You heathen!
The cool thing about Fireball Island was that it was an island.
Yeah.
And it had a
full-scale island. I mean,
full-scale.
Full-scale, you know.
One for one.
Yeah. You are on
it
an
island. It was exactly like the real Fireball Island.
Yeah.
It was a scale
just
model.
Just like the real one.
Yeah. You were a little explorer guy. Mm-hmm. And the point was...
It was Indiana Jones, basically. It was like, you were modeled on Indiana Jones.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Those characters look nothing like Indiana Jones.
But, I mean, the premise they of the game...
They looked really dorky, actually.
The premise of the game is you're this khaki-clad...
They had silly shorts on.
I thought they were wearing pants. I thought they had cargo pants.
I don't remember.
Clearly, you didn't look close enough. Okay, yeah, so you're an adventurer, and you're on an island, yeah. And you're exploring...
And you're trying to get the gems.
Yeah.
There's a ruby... Right?
Yeah, it's one.
The ruby at the top of the Fireball Island.
The not totem, but whatever that thing is.
It's like the fire guy.
The idol.
The idol.
Yeah. Stone, big stone face that breathes fireballs.
You try to climb to the top of Fireball Island, which sounds easy, but it's not because there's rickety bridges and there's fireballs. So often raining down upon you.
Yeah.
And it can roll down any little track at once and knock your guy down. It might knock a bridge over.
And then knock your guy down.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get lost in caves.
Yeah.
Sometimes you, sometimes there's a fake jewel. You had the card. You would pull a card and it was like fake jewel. And then you like, I don't know if you lost a turn or
you died.
I think you had to give your, you died. The fake jewel has poisoned you. That was such a rad game. And it was like substantial. That was another thing too. Like the box,
huge
box, very thick. And the board was all one 3-dimensional piece that stood off the table, like, I don't know, a half foot.
Like
or
it had
something.
Been vacuum formed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it didn't like fold or anything.
No,
it was just one giant piece and you pull it out. I mean, you needed to dedicate serious closet space to Fireball Island.
Yeah, not only is it huge, but it's huge still. Like, it wasn't huge because you were a little kid.
Yeah. No,
it's still huge because it's big.
It takes up your whole table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good game. Yeah. It had a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I like.
A lot of pieces.
I like a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Substantial.
Yeah.
That's why Hero Quest was great. That's why...
Mousetrap?
Mousetrap.
Mousetrap had a lot of stuff.
Games
a lot
that take as long to set up as they do to play.
Oh,
that's the
yeah.
good stuff.
Yeah. I was always disappointed that Clue didn't have more stuff.
Yeah,
like,
Clue. Well, you know, Clue had some good stuff.
It had good
but not
stuff.
A lot.
Yeah.
It had the little revolver and the lead pipe that could bend.
Yeah.
And it had the rope. And it had the...
I used to always try to get the rope over my pencil.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard.
No, but I would like
you just say hard.
It was hard.
It was hard.
I still
haven't done it.
I was disappointed that like when you put your piece in the secret passage space,
it didn't go.
It
there.
Didn't automatically reappear at the other end.
That'd have been great.
Yeah,
impossible, but great.
My only grievance with board games is that they didn't
figure
they didn't.
Teleportation
right.
out. Mousetrap, I never played it, but I would set it up.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself was stupid.
Yeah, it was a dumb, dumb game, but man, that trap was rad. And when you got to be the person to set it off at the end.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, the whole game, you set up the trap. You spend 30 minutes getting the trap set up, and then the game is just, like, there's a game board around the trap.
Yeah.
And you're, like, trying to... It's dumb.
Yeah.
Just... set the trap off.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the like, fun part.
It's like the wackier version of dominoes. Like, really,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
just there
yeah,
to set
yeah,
it up
yeah.
and knock them down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Let's no come one... clean. Let's come clean about Mousetrap.
No one was playing.
We just exposed the secret of an entire generation.
Blew it right wide open. Blew it wide open.
Wide
I couldn't
open.
Say that phrase.
Yeah. Well, you were still a little bit shaky about the secrets.
I know. I couldn't believe we did it.
We did, right here on this podcast. You know what else I never liked playing, but I liked the pieces, the fabrications of it? The Game of Life.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you get a car and you get a little peg and you put your pegs in there.
You'd put those buildings in the board.
Uh-huh.
You had the spin wheel.
Yeah, the wheel was awesome.
It was a good wheel.
It was a great wheel. And I used to like pretend that it was Wheel of Fortune wheel.
Yeah, I think we all did.
It sort of looked a lot like the Wheel of Fortune wheel.
Yeah.
And you would try to spin it with those little pegs and it wouldn't.
In life, you would get married.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Like on the like fifth space or something. Yeah.
And then you'd have kids.
That also happened really quickly.
There was no space on that board to talk about how those kids came around.
Ever showed up. Yeah. Yeah, it was almost like you went past that one big white house.
They should make a game of life that's, like, legit. Like, doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Get chlamydia three spaces back. Before you even get out of college, you've got all sorts of, like...
You should have, yeah.
...problems, and your student loan application is rejected.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back seven spaces.
That game would be much longer.
Yeah, but... a lot more intuitive or informative.
You should have to play. If you start a game of life, it should take as long as your life.
Yeah. Obviously.
Right?
Yeah. Would it be great if you like, if they made a movie of the game of life and it was literally just somebody like spinning a giant wheel in order to do anything.
Whoa.
Like they go out to their car and it's like a plastic, giant yep. plastic thing.
And yeah. And their
spin
wife is
the
a
wheel,
plastic
they,
peg.
Yeah. Yeah. And they
nice.
Have two plastic peg kids. Plastic peg kids.
Yeah.
Easily my favorite phrase from this episode. Already. Plastic peg kids. What other...
Battleship was a good one.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. Again, I never played.
Oh, I played.
Never
You had
played.
Ships and you had pegs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the innovation of electronic battleship, which I've never played.
Let's talk to you, yeah.
It would talk to you, yeah.
You sunk my battleship.
F4. Miss.
Yeah, no, that was interesting because in the regular battleship, you could sort of, you could lie, couldn't you? I mean,
you
could say
sure.
like, you know, they
if
would
you're
be
that
like
kind
F4
of person.
And you would be like, miss.
And
even though it hit,
well, F
but
you then.
In the,
I know you're cheating.
In the electronic one, you couldn't cheat.
Right.
Maybe that's why they created the electronic one. Do you think there are a lot, like a whole slew of people who are like, when Electronic Battleship came out, they were all like, crap!
Shit, I can't play anymore.
They open it up Christmas morning and they look at it and it's like, man. Down at the bottom, cannot cheat at Electronic Battleship.
Oh, man. Suddenly, like, battleship score averages go way down.
Yeah. Oh,
people
man.
Are cheating.
Leagues were collapsing.
Cheating.
Yeah.
This is a huge deal.
People started taking steroids.
That's why.
To...
That's why it was not successful. Nobody wanted it. People started taking steroids. They could hack the board.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They hack in,
mm-hmm.
and then they could cheat.
Yeah. Matthew Broderick is like wiring stuff up and
yeah.
Man your battle stations.
Man your battle stations.
It's electronic talking battleship from Milton Bradley. So real it really talks.
Battleship armed.
Battleship armed.
We're talking instant programming, free skill levels, and only Milton Bradley's got 'em.
Carrier hit.
Carrier hit.
Against the computer or opponent, your mission, sink the enemy's fleet.
Battleship sunk.
Battleship sunk.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Electronic talking battleship and original battleship, only from Milton Bradley.
What were games that you didn't like playing? We talked about Monopoly.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, I liked Monopoly. I eventually grew to like Monopoly once I actually figured out what it was about, you know? I kind of enjoyed it. And I liked all the weird places. Like, I would get those cards. I would be like, I'm buying Marvin Gardens. And I'd be like, what the hell is Marvin Gardens, you know? Like, none of that stuff made any sense to
me.
It
me
still
either.
Doesn't entirely make
yeah.
sense to me. Baltic Avenue? What?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man.
I mean, I know what it's based on, you know, something or other, but...
It is?
Sure. Probably. I liked it. Did you ever... Okay, that's a good... an interesting... a segue, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
In Monopoly, did you ever... did you follow the basic rules, or did you add your own rules, like where when you had to pay $75 sales tax or whatever, you would put the money in the center. It would become a pot.
That's what we did.
If you landed on
free parking,
That's, you would get that money. Is that in the actual rules?
I don't know.
Is that just sort of...
I assumed it was. That's how we played it.
See, I never played that for like the first 15 years of my life. And then suddenly somebody was like, oh, yeah, you put the money in the middle.
Well,
and
where did you put the money?
You put it back in the bank.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always put it in the middle.
It gets more interesting if you put it in the middle, because then all of a sudden has a windfall.
Yeah.
And you're like, awesome. See you suckers. Be hanging out in Marvin Gardens.
I'm making my way to Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah. I love those green properties.
The greens are good.
Everybody always went for the, you know, boardwalk or whatever, but I was like,
the
man,
greens.
You got three spaces instead of two if you get all the green properties.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The reds aren't bad either. Indiana, Illinois.
Oh, I never liked those.
What?
Never liked them. This is why my Monopoly strategy was crap, because I only bought the properties that I liked. I would only buy like the green properties, the utilities, and the railroads. And I was like, I would just like squander everything else. Yeah. And then pretty soon I was eventually out of money. And it would suck because, you know, somebody would just randomly land on the water company or whatever and then be like, oh, okay, I'll buy it. And I'm like, dude, I wanted the water company. I would always get really upset because I would think, look, I'm leaving you people all of this other crap.
Yeah.
Can't you just leave me my railroads?
And utilities.
And utilities. Can't you just leave me the run of the board?
Let me get my stuff, and then I'll stop playing, and you guys get whatever you want.
And you can buy whatever you want, yeah.
That's the thing about board games. It's it really can make you mad.
Yeah, oh, you can get angry.
It's awesome how angry you can get playing a board game. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I ever really got super
Come
angry. On. I don't know. I never had, like, you know, a thing where I like, flipped the board and walked away or anything
No,
like
I
that.
Haven't either. But the best games, I think, pit you against your friends. You know, like, cause... Descent and emotional duress. Yeah, like because like, well,
quirks.
Sorry is the perfect example, right?
Yeah.
You know, the whole point
so
is sorry.
So much passive aggression and sorry. Yeah.
And it's really hard to play sorry if you're an adult and you're playing with like your nephews or your niece or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
because they don't get it.
Yeah,
like,
they
frequently
feel bad.
They don't understand.
They get upset for real.
Yeah.
You can't sorry at them all the time. But that's the game.
You can't sorry them all the time.
And you can't be a sorry. You know,
you can't be a jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can be a jerk.
You have to sincerely, I'm sorry.
Hey, sorry about this. You go the extra mile. You're like, unfortunately, I need to move your piece per the rules of this game. I am required to replace your piece with my piece and return your piece to home.
I am also
please don't take offense at this.
I'm also required, per the rules of this game, to apologize to you at this time for the action I've taken.
In a very specific manner. I cannot say I apologize. I must say sorry.
Sorry. Sorry if I'm in Canada, which I'm not.
So I take that back. Sorry about that, too.
Sorry.
Sorry.
But you could get so angry.
Yeah.
It's great. It's allowed.
It's encouraged, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? On the covers of those board games,
no one looks angry.
No one's ever angry.
But
they're always
are.
Like maniacally happy, laughing.
Yeah.
They're like, I dropped a red checker on top of your black checker. I'm so excited.
Board games should depict them like throwing the game in anger on the cover.
That would be like an awesome series of graphics, like for the internet, like a meme with the
true results.
Alternate, board game covers.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of like board games where we change the rules of the game. But nothing's real. Did you ever do that? Were there any games that you played where you would change the rules?
Yeah, like working, like when you're playing with kids, sometimes you would let certain things slide, you know?
I mean, when you're playing with
people. With your peers?
Your peers.
Not until later. Like, I feel like whether I got them from other kids or I got them from my family or whatever, I would always take those that first set of rules that I learned
and
as
go with it.
Like, yeah,
gospel
and not stray from it. And then somebody would throw a quirk in later on and I'd be like, oh, there's a pot of money. Oh,
windfall.
Suddenly Monopoly is relevant again.
Suddenly it was not a just bad decision to buy the utilities. something's popped in. Oh, Trivial Pursuit. Mm. I love that game.
Do you consider that a board game?
Yeah. It's got a board. It's got pieces that you move around the board. You roll a dice. You answer questions.
It's a board game.
And I liked it when they started coming out with the subject-specific versions, you know? Mm-hmm. I was not... Well, when I was a kid, my family would play, and it was the Genesis 2 edition or something. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was... I knew nothing on it.
Right.
Because it was all...
Like late 70s, early 80s.
So my mom and dad would win.
I mean, like every answer is Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. So at one point, they did a Disney version of Trivial Pursuit. Mm-hmm. And it had two sets of trivia cards. One was for adults and one was for kids. Mm-hmm. And then we would play that. Okay. It was fair ground. Fairer.
Did you ever school your parents at it? Or?
No.
No?
No. They knew a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, they were both very adept at trivia. Mm. Still are. But I still like to play Trivial Pursuit. And I can school them at Lord of the Rings Trivial Pursuit. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
I love the
Star Wars Trivial Pursuit, and nobody would play it with me.
I'll play it.
Okay.
Do you have it?
No. I got rid of it because no one would play it with me.
Oh.
I think I donated it to Goodwill or something. But I loved, like, going through there and, like, people in the... It would take, like, one round of play, and then people would get frustrated and give up.
Because you knew them
Because I would always, like, there would be some stupid, obscure... It wasn't even, like, really that hard of a question. Because the hard ones would stump even me. Like, they would be like, how many red dots are on the Admiral neck insignia thing? And I'd be like, I don't know. But other ones would be like, you know, what's the number of
this
the...
This bounty hunter wore Mandalorian armor.
Right, yeah. And they'd be like, what the hell's a Mandalorian? I'd be like, Boba Fett.
It's not your turn, John.
I used to, when I was a kid, I had the same predicament with the Trivial Pursuit where my parents and uncles and aunts always knew all the answers, you know, whatever. So I tried to game the system one time when there was like a family gathering coming up and I was like, oh, we're probably going to play Trivial Pursuit.
Nice.
So I went through and I studied the cards and the answers.
Nice.
And I've actually practiced like shouting out answers. Like
shouting out? Why are you shouting them out?
Well, because I didn't understand the game. So I would practice shouting out the answers. I would be like,
"Had you ever played?"
No. No, but like I knew people played this game and I knew I didn't know the answers, so I would practice it. I would be like, you know, I would memorize in my mind like
Henry Kissinger.
Love at first bite.
Venezuela.
Yeah.
I'm so ready.
And then we never played. Never played.
You were holding the box.
I studied all those answers.
So you want to play Trivial Pursuit?
But I remember some of those.
Like what?
Like Love at First Bite.
That was an answer.
That was the George Hamilton vampire movie.
What's another one?
I don't know.
You remember that one?
That's the only one I remember. It. Yeah.
Trivial Pursuit's an awesome game. There are some really good games, more modern games. The board game, the art of the board game is alive and well.
It's blossomed.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
You got games like... I thought maybe you'd have one of the ready. Settlers of Catan.
I've never played
that. Never played it. I like and don't like the game. It's a game that makes me really mad.
I've heard that it has an effect on a lot of people.
Because it's all about resource management. And That's the best thing about board games now is like you get there's a lot of agricultural board games.
It's all about resource management.
It is. So you're collecting resources and you're trying to and you get points for however many roads you build and how many buildings or houses or farms, I don't know what they are, that you build, and then you get points for, you know, like cards that you collect, whatever. And the way to do that is to skillfully collect the resources and spend them in ways that get you points. And there's like things you get, if you have the longest road at any given time on the board, mm-hmm. you get points for that. But if somebody builds a road longer, you lose the like little card that says you have the longest road. So that could change at any moment. And what makes me angry is when people build roads where I want to build roads. Mm-hmm. It's like you and utilities.
And the utilities, yeah. Sure.
Like, let me build my roads.
You're like, I've got a vision. You know? I'm Bugsy Malone, and I see Vegas. I have a vision. And then
it's a personal attack. Hmm. Like, they knew I was going to go there. Don't go there. That's where I'm going. You can tell where I'm building my roads.
But isn't that part of the game?
Yes, it is.
The thing?
That's the problem.
To cut people off.
Yes. This is the
the problem with this game is that it's a game. If this were real life, I could kill this person and stop them from encroaching on my property.
Another good one that we play is Key Largo.
Oh yeah, the shipping the boat one. Yeah,
Brett has that game.
Yeah, that's a good game.
And yeah, it's a really cool game. It's a really smart game. Mm-hmm. Like the thinking that went behind it,
mm-hmm.
because you're like a ship captain or whatever, mm-hmm. on this island, and the point of the game is to make the most money. And the game takes place over the course of a week in game time, right?
Right.
And each day has a morning and an afternoon.
Right.
And at the beginning of a turn, you decide what you're going to do in the morning and what you're going to do in the afternoon. And these things range from diving for treasure to going to the bar to hire sailors to going to the market to sell treasure to going to the store to buy the
tourism one where you take people
going to the store to buy equipment or...
You take tourists out to see dolphins.
Like, and that's the given, you're going to make money.
Yeah. It's
so,
a safe bet.
And each day, for the tourism, each day is a different amount of money you'll get. You can charge different amounts based on what day it is
for
tourism.
Right.
And then
people are going to want to go on a Saturday.
The weekends. Yeah. And then also what changes, you know, as far as like the market or the store goes, how, you know, if let's say there's five people playing the game, mm-hmm. if three of those five people decide to go to the store at the same time to buy equipment, prices for equipment are higher because demand is
higher.
But if only one person's there, the price will be lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they want you to buy.
Yeah. And so it's the same with the market when you're selling treasure. If everyone's there selling treasure, demand is low.
So there's a little bit of strategy, but there's also a little bit of chance.
And then diving for treasure is fun.
It's like the best balance.
It's a great game.
Chance.
What's that one we played? The Gravedigger one.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was called.
Gravedigger?
Was it called Gravedigger?
It might have been.
Gravedigger.
That's what we can say.
Gravedigger. Game night is all about the grave digger.
I can't remember. I know that you tried to get treasure from graves.
Yeah, you were robbing graves.
Yeah, grave robber.
It's a great premise for a
grave
game.
Robber.
What if you can mix games? What if you could be like Game of Life and Grave Digger?
Whoa.
So like you get a family and then you set about robbing tombs.
Ooh.
And like you only keep your children if they can like find treasure.
Yeah,
if you don't, you leave them behind in tombs and then other people come across them.
Wow.
I got really morbid.
And he can reanimate them. Like, there's a witch doctor card or something.
I like that.
Reanimates them. Oh, that reminds me. I had a game one time that was called Mall of America. And it was...
Didn't you talk about this in the malls episode?
No. That was Mall Madness. You're thinking about Mall Madness.
I thought we talked about Mall of America, too.
I don't think we did. Okay, we talked about the place Mall of America.
Mall Madness is great, but go on. Yeah, we talked about that already.
Mall, M-A-U-L, of America. And it was a zombie game.
Nice.
Where you're in a shopping mall.
Nice.
Yeah, but it didn't have... What it needed to have was like a board like the Mall Madness board.
Yeah,
yeah. It was all three-dimensional, you know? Yes. Because the flat board just doesn't do the mall justice, you know?
Wow, that's awesome. Mall of America.
It's one of those niche market games, like, you know, specifically for game people. You know, you're not going to find them in, like, Target.
Well,
or
that's the cool thing, I think, is, like, the people are really playing to that market now. You know? There are games for game people.
Yeah.
Intricate games, like, with lots of pieces and,
you
know, that feel good in your hands and it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's the age of the game board, people. Get on board the game board.
Oh, no.
I'll keep going.
No.
I'll give you a game piece of my mind. You're all just pawns in the world of game boards. Roll the dice. Take your chance.
Sorry.
So, everything is explained.
Nothing's explained. We still don't know who killed him.
But the point is, we've got to find out in the next 39 minutes before the police arrive.
My God, we can't have them come here now.
But how can we possibly find out which of you did it?
What do you mean, which of you did it?
Well, I didn't do it. Well, one of us did. We all had the opportunity. We all had a motive.
Great. We'll all go to the chair.
Maybe it wasn't one of us.
Well, who else could it have been?
Who else is in the house?
Only the cook.
The cook!
Have been made based on board games?
At least two.
There's a really, really good one. There's one I haven't seen.
Yeah. But it's apparently one of the biggest flops of all time.
Yeah.
Financially, anyway.
Although, I read on... what website? Some well-reputed website gave it a good review.
Hmm. That's Battleship you're talking about.
Battleship, yeah, sorry, Battleship.
Loosely based on the...
Which...
Yeah, I heard that the missiles or the projectiles that are fired upon the battleships and everything are actually like shaped like pegs. That's
no,
like the only
not.
Connection. That's somebody told me they saw it. That's what,
they look like balls in the trailer.
I don't know. I'm just saying, going on what somebody told me.
It's it's altogether a shaky proposition because... One,
there's no story.
There's no story, at least not in the original game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like as that there was a narrative embedded into it.
Right.
Two, it was clearly made to fool people into thinking they were seeing a Transformers movie.
Because
you watch that trailer, it flashes on the screen in huge letters that it says Transformers, and above that in tiny letters it says from the game company that brought you or from the toy company that brought you Transformers or whatever, which is incredible. And it's got Rihanna in it for some reason. She's there inexplicably. I don't understand, like, who pitched it?
There was a whole series of game-based movies. Like, I feel like
there's been a lot of talk about game-based movies.
Somebody, I think it's a lot like the situation with Marvel, where they had, like, they assigned people to go and find ways to exploit their properties movies. And so Hasbro did that, and there was Battleship, there was another version of Clue that was on the books and may still be. There's a Ouija board movie.
Yeah, there's I believe Monopoly was in there.
Checkers.
Connect Four.
The game.
The movie. It is a game. Whoops. Clue was an amazing movie.
Oh yeah,
amazing. So such a quotable movie.
Yeah, and what a great way to capitalize on the variety of outcomes that you can have with the game.
Yes,
by employing three different endings.
Yeah. Not only was it so much about that movie is awesome. One, it's based on the game. And all it does is it takes the established characters from the game,
right,
the setting, and makes a really cool movie out of it.
Yeah.
A funny movie.
Yeah.
Really clever movie.
It's sort of subversive, really.
And then it has that amazing, when it was released, based on where you saw it, you got a different ending.
Yeah.
And that's genius.
Is badass.
So you had people like think, and they're talking about the same ending, and they weren't. And then when they released it on, VHS, they had all three endings on there.
Yeah,
so cool.
But it's a game for you, too, because you're trying to figure out who is the killer.
Such a cool movie.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Well done. It has yet to be surpassed by other board game movies. I'm trying to think if there are any others.
There's yet to be a superior board game movie.
Yeah, Hungry. They should make Hungry Hippos.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be...
It's like a tournament, like an arena like battle between hippos. They just keep eating.
I don't want it to be like a Pixar or a DreamWorks flick.
No,
I want it to be like really realistic hippos.
I'm picturing what's that guy that did 300?
Zack Snyder.
Snyder
directed, written and directed by Zack Snyder.
Hungry Hippos.
Yeah, it could just be called Hungry. And. There are four factions of hippos, right? And they fight. No, they want to eat stuff, right? What are those? Those are all like eggs
I think
or something.
You do it like
Wait, I got an idea.
Okay.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, it's sort of like the Hunger Games where you have like this...
Okay.
This global capital that's suppressing.
It wasn't global, but go on.
Okay.
You don't know what you're talking about.
This...
Continue, though.
This political force that is suppressing the citizens of various regions.
Yeah.
And every year, each region sends its
their best
champions. The champion hippo.
Do we keep it his hippos?
Yeah. Oh, okay. God, yeah, it's
all
hippos.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, we can... Come on.
No, it's hippos. And the hippos get together and
they
battle.
Are the communities all hippos, or is it a community that breed hippos?
I was initially thinking it's the breeding concept, but now I like the idea that they're all hippo people.
Okay.
It's like Tank Girl.
But they look like hippos, right?
Right, yeah. But they can either... They're like were-hippos. They can either stand on two legs or
no,
they can fight on four. Yeah.
And also in this world, hippos are not mammals. They birth their children through eggs. And those are the things that the hippos have to eat.
Oh, God.
That's those marbles.
That's horrible. That's terrible.
That's the...
What about a Sorry movie?
Hungry. That's what it's called. Hungry. 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 Coming this fall.
Zack Snyder's Hungry.
From the maker of 300. And Sucker Punch. Yeah, wait, what? Sorry?
How about a Sorry movie?
That would just be like a movie of people knocking other people over and apologizing. What else could they turn into a good movie?
Candyland would be an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Chutes and Ladders. Chutes and Ladders could be like a high school competition movie, or like a Lord of the Flies kind of thing where two camps of kids are like trapped on a deserted island and they discover this compound inside and underground, and it's a series of chutes and ladders.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they're going when they go down the chute.
Yeah.
And they don't know where the ladders are going to take them.
Sounds riveting.
I love it, man. Yeah. I'm in on this. I like it. Go on. Top it. Give me something that's better than Chutes and Ladders, the movie.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I'd rather see that than Battleship. Battleship. But I would see Battleship.
Yeah. I'd see Battleship over Battleship.
They should make a movie out of Don't Wake Daddy.
Oh, Don't Wake Daddy. Yeah.
It's a horror film. Dad's a zombie or something.
He wakes you up. You wake him up and he kills
you. Don't wake him up. You're trying to get out of the house.
Don't wake Daddy.
Don't wake.
Do you remember
the trailer would like end with a kid in his bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would be having a nightmare. Maybe sort of like squirming and going, oh, I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly like mom would appear in frame and cover his son's mouth, and the son's eyes go wide, and she's like, "Don't wake Daddy."
And then that's good. Cut the title. Yeah.
What about Operation?
Oh yeah,
they did a whole show about it. It's called ER.
What about like Guess Who?
Whoa,
where it's like somebody is like playing a dating game or something, but he or she is like goes on dates with twins and then has to guess which one's which.
What? Have you ever played Guess Who?
Sort of.
No, what it is it's about profiling.
Oh, okay, sure.
So here's what happens: the movie opens on a bank, right? And the bank is really busy.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of people in there. Big. It's like New York City, so it's a big bank and a lot of activity inside. Then we cut to police station, mm-hmm. right? And you've got Detective Jenkins there, right? Mm-hmm. And he's the grizzled sort of veteran.
Right.
And
he's got a new rookie that he's
training. Yeah, he's training. They get a call. Bank heist.
Uh-oh.
The bank robbers have a room of...
a room of twins?
No, stop saying twins. There's no twins. Oh, there are twins.
Yeah.
No, you're right. But they're not twins. No, that's wrong. You just have a card that is another guy. It's not a twin.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, they get a call that these bank robbers have taken hostage the whole bank, right? Well, to make it so that the cops can't just, like, use a sharpshooter to take one of them out, they're blending in with the hostages.
Oh, okay. Guess Who? I like that. That's good.
Detective Jenkins sends the rookie in, right, to uh-huh. infiltrate. And he has a mugshot of the guy who they think it is.
Uh-huh.
And he's over the phone with Jenkins
next to everybody.
Well, no, Jenkins has the photo, not the rookie.
Okay.
The rookie's in there, and Jenkins is like, "Does he have red hair?" And the rookie's like, "No." And the rookie like makes them put their head down. And the you laugh on microphones. It doesn't sound like I'm the one laughing at this. That sounded like a fake laugh.
It was a fake laugh at the end.
The hostage takers, they go along with it because they think they're going to get away scot-free. There's
right,
no
right.
way they're going to figure out who it is. There's like 40 people in here. Guess Who? The movie. I'd see it.
Good. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah?
Sounds good. You know, the commercial for Guess Who was very controversial back in the day.
Yeah.
Because it showed the pieces talking.
Yeah.
And apparently there were some kids who were convinced that the pieces talked.
Oh.
And so when they bought the game and then they didn't talk,
yeah.
they were like, what? My pieces
Yeah,
don't
the
talk.
Pieces freaked out. in the cartoon. Yeah. They're like, oh no,
not me. Yeah.
You like kill them as you knock those little things over.
Yeah.
I had Guess Who.
Oh no.
I had Guess Who, and the best part of it was turning the board so that everything flipped over. So that everything flipped up, I should say.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. It made a good sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to flip those things down.
Yeah.
It was a fun game.
Good game. Good idea.
And it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Mark Wahlberg is in it.
Is he the grizzled guy? Or
yeah.
Is he Jenkins?
He's grizzled. Okay. It's Jenkins. Kerplunk.
Kerplunk.
Yeah.
You could play it, make a game out of Kerplunk.
A game?
I mean a movie out of Kerplunk.
You could.
Yeah. What a bunch of people trapped in a tube just trying to get out.
And they keep pulling sticks.
And they keep pulling sticks. Yeah.
It's an M. Night
Shyamalan.
The twist is it's all a board game. I think the movie industry has a lot of fodder there.
Yeah, if they would just play some more games, they'd.
That's the problem. They're not actually playing the games. Do you know what I mean? Like they're taking what they think the narrative is.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
We could do better.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Let's go put these back in the archive.
Did you put all the pieces in the box?
I think I lost half of them.
Oh, God.